welcome to the podcast with Face, Pat, and Tiz.
Peace, 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 please, peace, kings, everybody. What's good? What's good? What's up, guys? Welcome to the pod. Show with three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, and having weekly conversations that you can join in on. As always, I'm one third of the partners. I'm your boy Tiz. I'm along with
Padawan here. Damn, my hair all over the damn place. Yeah, and I'm the other one. I'm the other third of the partners, and I'm along with.
Yeah, it's Face. I'm in this bitch. What's going on?
What's good with y'all, fellas?
I'm in this bitch.
This is a wild episode, because we just recorded episode 114, technically. So, you know, this one of them random pull-up episodes. We actually had a couple of extra topics that couldn't fit into 114. So I had the, you know, little great idea to let's bring it to the live. Let's bring it to the people. Let's have the conversation with everybody. So that's what this is, man. And as you can see by the title of tonight's episode, man, it is called The Value of a Man. So the topics tonight that I bring gonna kind of deal with manhood and where the value of that man comes from. So the main thing that I definitely wanted to talk to the fellas about and kind of bring to the pod squad out there, make sure y'all like, comment, share, subscribe. Make sure if you come on the way in right now, you make sure you wipe your feet, hit that like button, go ahead, subscribe. If you do, if you're watching this on replay, make sure you subscribe and hit that bell so that you don't miss any of the content coming at you. But with that being said, brother Jason Whitlock, Mr. King of Foot and Mouth Disease, he's beautiful. He had a controversial quote lately when the Tyree Nichols situation happened. Rest in peace and, you know, blessings to that young man's family. But I wanted to play the clip, and I had some thoughts on it, right?
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to see what y'all thought about my thoughts on it and then just get y'all thoughts in general. So I'm going to go ahead and play the clip real quick for everybody.
It looked like what young black men do when they're supervised by a single black woman. And that's what they got going on in the Memphis Police Department. They've elected some or put some black woman in charge of the police force. And we're getting the same kind of chaos and disunity and violence that we see in a lot of these cities that are run by single mothers. If we want to discuss the breakdown of family that leads to disrespect for authority, that causes you to resist the police and run from the police and not comply with the police because you resist authority at all time because there was no male authority in your home, let's have that discussion. But that's not where they want to take us. They want to take us down the path of saying, you know what, this is Tucker Carlson's fault. This is some random white, this is Donald Trump's fault. It's not. It's the breakdown of family and the buying in to all these left-wing thing violence to me. It looked like
makes no. You muted.
Oh. Of course he is.
All right, so y'all heard the clip, all right, or whatever. Y'all saw the clip. Y'all want to give y'all thoughts to the clip, or do y'all want me to give y'all my thoughts on that clip and then y'all react to that? How do y'all want to take this?
Give your
the second.
Okay.
Because I'm gathering mine.
All right. So first of all, start by saying this argument with the single moms, right, has nothing to do with the Tyree Nichols situation. It does not apply in any way in that situation whatsoever. Not whatsoever. Not really sure why he slipped it into that conversation at all, but it has nothing to do with that situation. Like, none of that, the factors fit that situation specifically, right? But But his take, he does present a very good point. And when you look at young black men, especially, but young men in general, growing up in a single mother household, especially, you often find behaviors of men that are not necessarily that
of men.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see if y'all agree with that and what y'all think about that. But I definitely personally, I think he's right, man. I think the breakdown of family is why you see less men being men. And when I say that, I don't mean being men in the sense of being overly aggressive, but I mean being men in the sense of having honor and chivalry and respect and like knowing how to deal with other men, even in a proper way. Like, niggas back in the day would put their guns on the hoods of the car just to get into fisticuffs. One dude would take a L, and at no point would he think about picking up that gun that's on the hood of the car to shoot his boy. He just take his L. Hey, all right, thank you. Put in our right player. You got that one. You feel me? So, like, I think that like when you have men that are raised by women, you lack an element of a man actually learning how to be a man. Like, there's nothing there to teach him how to be a man.
True.
Now, a woman can teach a man, a young boy, how to be a good person all day long.
Yeah,
but to be a good man requires something. The same way a single dad, to me, can't teach a young woman how to be a woman. It has to be a woman around, a grandmother, an auntie, or somebody to like take that role and teach her what the women actually do. Because we don't do the shit women do. Women don't do the shit men do. Like, there's a very distinct difference in the experience that men and women will have in this world independent of their parents.
That's true.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have a as a man, the way I interact with the job market, the way I interact in relationships, it comes from a very a different place. The way I'm viewed and perceived by society is very different than the way a woman is. You know what I'm saying? They both have their challenges and benefits, but one doesn't live the other's experience. So I think he made a lot of really good sense, like in the larger scope, the micro, the macrocosm of the world. Like, not in that specific situation does it apply, but I do think that, like, when you look at the rise in gang mentality, the rise in young men who may even come from an affluent or decent background through that single mother still choosing to go to the streets. Like, when you have a man that's not around, and I don't mean necessarily not in the household, but just not around, because you cannot be in the household and still be super active. You can still be around your child a lot and be, you know, the whole nine. So, like, I really think he made a good point. But go ahead, fellas. I apologize. I don't mean to hog the mic. Go ahead.
Yeah, one question.
All right.
Go ahead, Pat. You
go first. I was just saying that, yeah, he makes a good point. It's just the point becomes null and void because he brought out that point in a situation that has nothing to do with it. Like, or whatever. That's the only thing. Or whatnot. It's like, I feel like Jake Whitlock probably took a conversation that black men talk about or whatever and try to use that to persuade black men over to the less liberal, more conservative side. So it can seem like, yeah, I'm one of y'all in general. And so y'all should listen to what I say, pretty much. That's all I feel. And I see conservatives do that shit all the time. They'll take a talking point that black people are talking about or whatever and try to use that talking point to persuade them to agree with some bullshit that they're saying out their mouth, pretty much.
Excuse me. My thing is, though. Hold on. See when the wisdom to come out, devil start working.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say to that, though, is despite the form, if a good point is made, though, shouldn't that still be respected and dealt with? So, like, say I'm on a horrible panel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I make a good point on that horrible panel. Should my point be judged by the fact that I'm on that panel, or should my point be judged by the fact that it's a good fucking point? And I think that like, I don't want people to sit there and keep judging. Like, sometimes in the midst of these conversations, right,
mm-hmm.
there's a give and take of ideas on these very hot button situations. I think sometimes we often miss the gems that can be pulled because it's coming from the other side in a certain format, or it's coming from the other side with something else. Like,
I
was always taught, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, yeah, this shit over here may be fucked up, but if this point is valid, let's take that point, because that's the real conversation point. That's the real building piece. That's the block that can lead to something progress, something progressing, some resolution. You feel me?
Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. It's just that it's timing. You get what I'm saying? It's all about timing. If we're talking about one subject or whatever, it's just, I'm not trying to take away from his point. It's just that your point loses validity if we're not even talking about that in the first damn place. You know what I'm saying? It's like you ever been in a conversation, y'all talk about something, and then all of a no. It's like this. It's like if a kid, right? You're talking to a kid and you ask a kid, why did you do that? And then instead they'd be like, well, that's because, and then they'll say something totally different. I don't got nothing to do with any. Well, that's because you didn't give me that toy that other day.
You know what I do? If it's a good point, I deal with that point and then still get back to my original point.
Mm-hmm.
Because that point may still be valid. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of times, like, say me and you having a conversation, right? And because you disagree with the point that I'm making in that conversation, right? We trying to build towards something, or we disagree on some, like, political topic, and we got us arguing, right? And you make a good point, but your point comes in the middle of, like, sandwiched between two points that I'm just like, man, what the fuck? Do I throw out that good point in the middle that you made, though? When that's the point that might actually be the bridge that can connect us and help us to come to resolution. Or do I throw that shit out because you put some fuck shit around it?
It's
no, I deal with the fuck shit, right? Maybe, mm-hmm. right? You deal with that. But you also give validity and credence to that point, because that point is something that's missed. Like, people was ready to throw that whole conversation about, well, there is a breakdown in the families. There is a reason that these many black men would sit there and look at another black man in today's climate and still choose to jump on him the way that they did as police officers. There's something mentally in them that they've grown up and been socialized in a way that they've grown up and something is wrong. And you see this same behavior and a lot of other men that come from similar background. Like, there's something to that conversation, but no, we're not gonna have it because he said it on Fox News and because Tucker Carlson's a dick and a racist. Like, no, we deal with the fact that everything that might have, the context of when he said it might have been shit. And that's why I started off by saying, like, I don't think it applies to that situation at all, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But since he brought it up,
let me ask
a lot of the other fuck shit that we seeing right now with these young boys and these RICO cases and these young boys killing each other and these young boys being willing to look at women as in certain ways, and by proxy a lot of these women being devalued, so then they act out and act a hot ass mess because the men around them don't look at them like they ain't shit, so they be like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna look at myself like I ain't shit but a bag. Let me use what I got to get what I want type of talent. Like, so it's all that shit that's a conversation that got to be had in our community, because it's the one conversation that I think black people don't want to have, because it goes back to us being accountable for us again. Like, there's a lot of systematic shit that's fucked up. True. Right. Uh-huh. Got that.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
My only point is, like, question, is what I've been saying before. It's like, black conversations need to stay in the black community. That's it. That's my only disagreement with that. Other than that, yes, I say we need to go ahead and have that conversation, of course, or whatever. It's just that we don't throw the conversation away. I agree with you with that. I just you know what I'm saying? I don't want to say I'm disagreeing with you with that at all. We need to have that conversation because, yeah, I'm tired of you little bitch-ass niggas acting emotional around me or whatever, and I can tell your ass. Like,
that's the thing. It ain't even acting emotional. It's acting without understanding of the emotion. So, like, yeah. I'm emotional. You emotional. Face emotional. Most of the men that I respect in this world are emotional. They feel emotion. They deal with emotion. It's just the behaviors they display when emotions arise
is not the correct
are inappropriate response to the trigger that caused the emotion. It's not some wild ass overreaction. It's not some, you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. So, like, let's be clear. We ain't saying that being emotional is bad. It's how you react to the emotion. Everybody should feel. We got to feel feelings. That's what makes us human.
Yeah. This is my thing. When he first started off the comment, he started off the statement. He said, black, single black mothers. Ain't no single white mothers out there in the world. Their kids be fucked up too. Why is it got to be black? Like, in the scene, we already dealing with the police issue and the black issue. Now, in this instance, it won't not one white cop. And we still got to make this shit racial. For some odd reason, it still ended up racial. Instead of just seeing it as what it was. Police doing their jobs fucked up and killing another human being. Some way in media, it brings out this color shit and it's continuing the bullshit. I ain't see a black man get killed. I seen a man get killed by some other men. This single mother shit, yeah, you're right. It's a breakdown in family, but it ain't just in the black community. It's not. It's in the Caucasian community too. There's a lot of fucked up families in the Caucasian community too. A lot of them. A lot of despondent ass fathers. A lot of drug addict ass sons and daughters because the fathers weren't there. It ain't just in our community that the bullshit happens. It's not polarized in that community. It's continuously polarized in our community because the breakdown of our families is always poignant. It's always put out there. Oh, the black family, the black family. Families, period, motherfucker. Families with family structure, a lot of this shit goes on because black people ain't the only ones doing crime out here. Young black people ain't the only ones killing people out here. They're highlighted.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Couple of things. First of all, when we started this, I actually said men, but I didn't. And I also separated the conversation from the Tyree Nichols situation because I don't think that they connect.
Mm-hmm. Second of all,
no, I'm talking about not your statement. I ain't talking about your statement. I'm talking about the original, his statement.
I got you. But that's why I wanted to separate it because, like, I don't think that that situation applies to the larger conversation of the breakdown of the family and its effect on our community. Mm-hmm. Reason I geared the conversation toward our community, though, is I don't really feel like we address our community. I feel like other communities address themselves. Like, there's a reason that other communities marching order and a certain hierarchy and a certain way to protocol that they do things, which is why when things hit the fan, those communities often come together and you see us still being disjointed and searching for our place in oftentimes these other people's community. It's because we don't
deal with our shit. I believe black people stop taking accountability as civil rights.
I don't know when, but I'm just going to say I think black people have a real tough time in looking at themselves. Like, whenever it get turned back on us, we get mad. And why I got to be about? Because it is about us. Like, at the end of the day, don't nobody else care about us. So why are we going to sit there and not address us? Like, let's deal with us. Like, let's keep the conversation on us. Yeah, other people might be fucked up, but we going to fix them? We're suffering in this country, but we keep worrying about other people also having issues. But them other people that's having issues are having a higher success rate over us in the same systems. So at the end of the day, at some point, we can't keep worrying about everybody else. We got to focus on us. And that's the problem. We always want to, don't turn it on us. Why I got to be? Because it is.
This is my thing.
In this country, unfortunately, are either racial or economical. That's the fucked up foundation that this country was built on. So the things that come out of it, the branches that come off of it, are usually going to have some level of that one of those two undertones involved in it.
Yeah, I want to say my piece about it, and I just because I want to actually get into the actual subject of what you're talking about or whatever. But it's the messenger, not the message. That's the only problem about it. I want to talk about this or whatever. It's just that. And no, we shouldn't wait on certain messengers. We should just have a talk about this. But it's the messenger that fucks up the message. That's all. That's the only thing about it. It's the messenger. It's like everybody want to talk about black problems that's not black. That's one of my main grievances or whatever. It's like we've gotten so to the point of ignoring the problem that we only talk about it when when another race talks about us in that problem.
Well, peep game, Pat. When I was a young man, right? Papa Simi, shout out to Papa Simi, my great grandfather. I had him only for my first 8 years, but he was amazing for them 8 years. Dropped a lot of gems. He often said this little phrase, and I ain't understand it till I was a grown man. If you don't control something, something else will control. If you don't control yourself, something else will control you. If you don't control your dog, something else will control it. So, like, at the end of the day, we don't control our narratives. We don't control our conversations because we don't want to have them because it hurts. It makes us have to look at the parts that the faults that we play and shit. Like, it's easier to have a victim mentality and say this, this, and this did it as opposed to stand up and say, you know what? Yeah, that happened. But look at our pieces, because if we fix our pieces, we are in a better position than we were before that. Like, and that's my thing. Like, it's a lack of wanting to have that conversation because we can find an excuse in, well, it came from Jason Whitlock, so fuck that shit. Or it came on this channel, so fuck that shit. Or it came during this conversation or from this platform or from this group. Or like at the end of the day, like we got to start as people having these conversations based on where the whatever the good points are. Let's build on those. Let's figure out a way to attack those and key in on those, because a lot of times that's the actual threads that can actually find resolution to a lot of these overarching problems. You know what I mean? But we can't keep hiding from the conversation. Like, you gotta be had.
It's just
even when they come from fat bloated people that look like hippos, you still gotta have a conversation. Hippos yeah. Point sometimes.
I don't even know who that nigga is. Because I don't even watch it. I don't even know who this nigga is, Jason Whitlock. I don't really have an opinion, yay or nay, on him.
Making controversial statements.
But just from his demeanor while making the statement he made and how the oomph behind it, you feel me? Like, it just something threw me off in that. Like I said, this is the first time I'm privy to even seeing or hearing Mr. Whitlock's name or anything from his mouth. So, they always say first impressions is the last and ones. And I feel that the point is valid.
He got
a valid point about family structure. In that element, he also has a good point about how young men act around authority. Some young men, when they don't have certain authority figures in their lives, act as well. And those are poignant points, because if you don't know what authority is, you don't respond to it at all. Especially if you haven't had that in your life. When you get older, no one's going to tell you what to do. You think you're the only one who can tell you what to do, so you're going to always buck. And that ain't how real world works. So you got to find out the hard way. And sometimes the hard way ends up, unfortunately, that way. But to the point of our community getting out of this bullshit mentality, it's always good to have somebody give you something, ain't it? But it's that much better and feels so much better to work for it and achieve it yourself. For so many years, I feel like people have been, our community has been asking for stuff and asking for stuff and asking for, we need a bill. We need this. We can't get this. What are you doing for it? Where are the people? Where's the organization? Where's the accountability? Where is the things that need to be put in place to for us to fix us? We have to, like you said, you got to look at yourselves first before you keep trying to hold your hand out for somebody else to help you. You got to want to help yourself to get help. Ain't nobody going to help those who not trying to help themselves. So all them people, it's the man. No, the white man. No, white man. No, I don't involve my life with too many white people. So when something's going wrong in my life, it's most likely I've done something wrong. It's my decision. It's no white man pulling my strings to make me make the decisions I make. My decisions put me in the arenas that I'm in. No one else. Collectively, as a group, a large group, we need to see this.
We need
hold
to
the
be...
mirror up. We need to hold the giant cultural, racial, whatever mirror we need to hold up so we can all be accountable at the same time on the same level. Because then change, significant change, may actually come because we all be on one page. Okay, we know how we need to fix us to move forward to get the things we need to get that everyone else has already got.
Right.
Let's be a collective. But you can't do that because as everybody know in the black community, everybody out for themselves. It's only about everybody. There's a crab dog eat. Most other communities, it ain't like that. It ain't that bullshit with most other communities. Most other communities are well to help each other grow. If I got a business, my brother got a business, and his brother got a business, and my cousin got a business. We all growing because we putting money into each other's hands. We all growing together. It ain't like that in our community. One motherfucker, I got a business. I want to be the only business. Why, nigga? Why? You want to continue to be the big fish in the little pond? No, I'd rather swim in the pond. We all the same size, man. We all gonna eat directly. We all gonna eat equally. The fuck? I don't want to be the big fish in the little pond. And the damn sure don't want to be the little fish in the big pond. Just put me somewhere in a medium-sized body of water and put me as a medium-sized fish with a bunch of other motherfuckers that we gonna eat equally. Okay, you got your shit. I got my shit too. You ain't coming for me and I ain't coming for you.
But we grow together. Watch me make this circle off of that, though. Glad you said all of that. Very excellent point. Because men don't come from a hoarder mentality because we're always thinking of the next kill anyway. Right? Which is why a man can end up broke, homeless, destitute, and be all right and just figure that shit out from there. You got so many multimillionaires, billionaires that like got it all, lost everything, got it back, lost everything, got it back, lost everything, and then hit their last billion. And now they, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got so many of those stories of men doing that because, like, that's how men are wired. We're wired to, like, forget the last play and just go ahead to the next one. But watch this. When you got men that's raised by women, they're going to automatically have that hoarder mentality of, I can't share with my brother because I need that. Because if they go, who gonna take care of me? That's a wife's mentality. That's a mentality of a woman that's like, hey, you know, I gotta save mine because if my husband die, what do I have? I need to make sure I have something to live on from that. Men ain't thinking like that. Men thinking about setting everything else up for everybody else. Let me get it all away anyway. I ain't gonna die with it. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. Get it back.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So like, but when you raise them, but like, when you're missing that element of the puzzle, like you can have a really good person, but if they don't ever learn that puzzle and they don't ever see that modeled, then they're going to take on the aspect of the mother, which is to make sure that they can supply for the family and make sure they can have a little bit to the side for this rainy day. And like, that's how women think. They think in a nesting mentality of like making sure everybody, let me make sure everybody got a little something. Because if something happened, I got to make sure I can take care of everybody. I got to make sure I can nurture everybody.
I got a question.
You know what I'm saying? The man is thinking, all right, I'm going to hunt this lion and I'm going to hunt this gazelle today. But tomorrow I'm going to give me a buffalo anyway. So y'all go ahead eat that gazelle. Y'all eat up. I'm going to go get me another one anyway.
I got a question.
Ask your
question. Give right, because I know this is going back to Whitlock again or whatever, but
let's have the conversation.
Did those police officers come from a single mother household?
Again, that's why I don't think that it applies in this situation.
Yeah, we can go on to the next subject. It's
no,
just that.
So that's that the reason I did. So when I started the conversation, why like making it very distinct that his comments have nothing to do with that, I really meant that. Like, we don't have any verification on these young men's background. We don't have any verification on the lady that was like the person that was in charge, but I believe she's like a married woman or something. So like I believe that it doesn't apply to that situation at all.
All right. So with that being said, I want to say, if black people really want to have these conversations and have progress or whatever, it's a certain way you have these conversations. Like, I'm only talking about getting us to talk about it. You get what I'm saying? And when you have certain messengers saying that message or whatever, it makes the message, it doesn't give that message a good promoter. That's all I'm saying. But fuck that. Let's get back to the real subject of.
I mean, I respect it. I just think that, like, honest, man, like, at the end of the day, when I look at these conversations, I watch other communities willing to have the conversation, willing to disagree, and willing to keep art about it until they figure it out. I watch us immediately either go into victim mode or going to play the blame game and let me go into some ad hominem shit and let me fuck you over and be completely divisive instead of even trying to understand the fact that, like, I may disagree, but where's the thread that we can find a little through line here? What does make sense in what you're saying, even if I disagree with it? Like, I think we often confuse agreeing with understanding. Like, I can understand your point and still disagree. But if I understand your point, now we're talking logic. Now I can apply another logic against it, and we can continue to go back and forth with logic until we get to a real resolution, and now we can move forward. But a lot of times we insert feeling into this conversation. We insert the emotion. We start to come from a place of, ooh, this don't feel comfortable. Ooh, I got to look at me. Ooh, I did something wrong. Yeah, sometimes we done fucked up. And when we don't look at that piece of it, it's hard to move forward because only one party is moving forward with a resolution. The other side is still feeling away.
And this culture nowadays is not helping. It's not helping at all because everybody is all about, this makes me feel this way. This makes me feel this way or whatever, which goes back into our conversation, because men that are brought up as men realize that your feelings mean something, your emotions mean something, but at the same time, when you need to get something done, you gotta, you know, put them feelings to the side. You know what I'm saying? As a man, there's a lot of times as a man, you don't feel like getting up and going and doing what you gotta do. But ain't nobody else gonna do it, but you gotta
right.
do it.
Right. You know? You gotta get your ass up. Like, somebody gotta do it, and ain't nobody else gonna do it. So get your ass up and you're gonna do it.
Yeah, but,
looking at that comment from last call, he said, we've never been looked at as equals. These pigs didn't see a brother. They saw
Less than a man.
Less than a man. All right. But that's the thing, though. What man sees another man is less than a man? All men can see the humanity in another man. Even if they don't even if they disagree with his politics, even if they disagree with his religion or whatever, you can still see the humanity in that man. Still see, you know what I'm saying? See him as a man. So like it takes a certain mentality to even get there. And when we look at that situation again, it has nothing to do with a single month. I don't know their situation. Uh-huh. That is more of a systematic thing of like the police force having an issue with power. That's a power hunger, taking advantage of power, corruption of power situation. That's a whole different conversation. That's going into the monarchies that's been there for years. That's going into the caste system, all that shit of like, I got power, you don't. So I'm going to use it to my advantage to get what I want, especially if I'm already a fucked up person. So you're going to have these situations pop up in the police force because they have a lot of power and they also have so many people on their roster. You're going to have fucked up people in there. You know what I mean? So that's different. You know what I mean? But
we as black people see each other as human. So that's where we need to go.
Who we know? That's the question. Do we value each other as men? Right. So I'm gonna use this to segue into the next piece. But as I get into the next topic, feel free to like loop it back in and incorporate your thoughts on this one into it and all that. You feel me?
Yeah.
So the next topic that came to me, right, came from this clip. I posted it on our page the other day, right? This brother Ocho Cinco said some wild shit. It just it was just very profound to me and just it hit differently. So I'm gonna play the clip and then get
it. In your career where your name becomes bigger than anything you can purchase, there's your value. Wow. My name itself, Ocho Cinco, at one point, even still to this day, is bigger than why am I driving a Ferrari? Why am I driving a Rolls Royce and I'm Ocho?
All right. So in that clip, brother Ocho Cinco basically spoke on how his value as Ocho Cinco, his value as a person was at such a height. Like he didn't see the purpose in like spending money or showing his value in like financial or monetary things, right?
Uh-huh.
Got me to thinking about like the value of a man, right? And I realized like it boils down to three buckets and how you could judge the value of a man, because these three buckets are going to determine how much money that person makes, or at least the amount of power or situational power that that person attains in his lifetime, right? So I feel like when it comes to a man, like your value got to come from how you treat others.
Mm-hmm.
Like and when that. I say that, I mean like talking about that respect factor, that outreach factor, that when you walk into a room, how are you greeting people? How are you responding to people when they greet you? How are you treating the people who are less than on a lower tier or a lower societal structure or a lower pay grade authority level than you, right?
Uh-huh.
And how others treat you when you walk in the room. How are others responding to your presence all of a sudden? When you walk into a room, are other people all of a sudden brightening up and be feeling enlightened by your presence? Are other people happy to see you? Are other people feeling like empowered from the things that you're doing? Are other people responding to you in ways that show favor or grace towards you? Or are people being extremely standoffish? Are people pushing you away? Are people looking at you as, oh, I don't want to deal with him, right? And then third, what is your facility to others? What can you do for others? What is your practical, tangible skill, asset, resource, that can do something for some other person in the world, right?
Uh-huh.
And I look at it, a lot of times men don't chase those three areas. Because, like, if you look at those three areas, right, they're going to determine everything else about what money you make, right? But a lot of times we don't pay for the money. How much money that nigga made? Okay, he made six figures, right? But if he treats other people bad, 9 times out of 10, he's not going to be able to sustain that for a long time. Because he's either going to lose his job or he's going to lose his customers, right? If other people don't treat him with respect, he's gonna end up losing that money anyway because other people are gonna be using him for that money. They're not gonna respect him, so he's gonna end up being parted with his money quickly because a fool and his money are soon parted. And then if he can't do anything for anybody, then he's not gonna be able to sustain that money because his value is gonna go away because somebody else gonna be able to do what he could do way better. And they're gonna take it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you look at a man, I feel like a lot of times we really be chasing the wrong thing. We're chasing the job as opposed to chasing the skills, the ass, the resources, the thought process, the knowledge that goes around that job. Like, even with this, when we look at our interactions online, right? A lot of times people be fucking with me because, you know what I'm saying? If you know me in real life, I'm actually more of an asshole. But if you talk to me, I'm very much professional with everybody I meet in real life. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm like that even online is because I'm looking at it like I don't know who in there could be like the next person that may be able to refer me somewhere, or they may see me in real life somewhere else and be like, oh, because I remember him and he was respectful. Hey, man, I got you on this connection here. Let me introduce you to this person. And then that person may be the person that be the connection that saved my life, that they may shoot me to the next level. You feel me? But a lot of people don't ever learn that business level. And that takes me back to like that original conversation of like a woman can't teach you that though. Because a woman's value doesn't come from those three areas.
Uh-huh.
That's where a man's value comes from in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the all marketplace. Like even when you get with your woman, right? Your value in that relationship is always going to be looked at how you treat her, how respectful you are, like how you communicate with all that, how she treats you. Does she reciprocate same respect? And then what can you do for her? Like, what is your value to her? Are you the monetary person? Are you the person that fixes shit? Are you the person that laying down the pipe? Are you the person that provides her with the ability to have status? Like, what's your facility and resource role in her life?
Uh-huh.
And your friendships, it come down to that. Do you respect this motherfucker? Do you treat this dude with respect? Like, do you actually treat him nice? Are you cool with him? Do y'all have a good rapport? Does he treat you the same? Right? And then even in your friendships, looking at what you can do for him, like, all right, are you the person that make this nigga laugh? Are you the person that nigga talk sports with? Are you the person that nigga can listen to? Are you the person that listen to him? Like, but it gotta be some. It's always those three buckets that lead to the end reward of whatever.
Go ahead. All right, Tiz. As you were speaking, things started tinkering in my head. Basically, pause because that don't sound right. Anyway, but my mind started to go into it, especially going into your subject. Can you say those three things again?
Three buckets are how you treat others, how others treat you, and what you can do for others. Those three buckets determine the value of a man to me. No, those are the three buckets I'll put everything in.
See, those three things, right? I was taught that, and that's one of the things that I myself personally, not as a man, but as a human being, think that that's the way I should be, like, you know, making sure everyone's okay around me. You know what I'm saying? Making sure that I carry myself in a way that when people see me, they don't feel some type of way, you know, it's negative energy or anything like that. And what I need to do to better myself and my skills to provide was needed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What I feel like is that, mind you, I said that's how I feel I should be, what I should focus on as a human being, right? I'm not seeing that promoted as that's what you should be as a man. You know what I'm saying? What I am seeing as promoted is that pretty much you need to be filthy fucking rich, and you need to be a boss, and that's the only way you're a man. I know you're about to go, but this is where I get that from, because I can technically say I was in a single parent, single mother household, because it was a point in time that it was just me and my moms until she remarried. You know what I'm saying? Fortunately, I had another positive male figure after a while later on in life that I could learn those things or whatever. But if you've been under a single mother household all your life and you're a boy and you're not around enough male figures, you will pick up some feminine traits. Being that a man's natural reaction to a lot of things sometimes is anger or aggression or whatever, you might end up picking up the negative traits. And then a lot of times when you're looking for the answers of what it is to be a man or whatever, if you're around a woman all the time, you might take what a woman's desire to be what a man should be. And a woman's desire into what they want a man to be is different than what a man should think on what he needs to be. You know what I'm saying? Vice versa. A man's desire is not what a woman should focus on to be a better woman. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not a woman, so I don't know necessity, like the necessity.
You lost me.
I put it this way. As far as a woman's desire for a man or whatever, a lot of times you might just see, all right, you might hear them, I need a rich man. I need a man with a real job. I might need this, that, and the third, whatever. A child might take that or whatever and all the media that they see as, okay, this is the type of man I need to be. Like, they might screw what...
I got you. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It might screw what their visual of what a man is, because sometimes the most desirable man is not the best man. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, what might be the most desirable woman visually, you know, at the core basic material things might not be the best woman in general. You know, there's a lot of beautiful women out there with wicked hearts, with conniving hearts. And there's a lot of, you know, plain Janes that got the biggest hearts in the world. You got a lot of men out there that they're very successful in everything, but on their way up, they treating people all any old type of way. You know what I'm saying? They treating their women any old type of way, but they're still desired because they got that visual aspect of, I'm a big man around here. You know what I'm saying? But they may be lacking in the first two areas they might be lacking more on the first area that you were talking about. You know what I'm saying?
But look at
half in the second, and then
you gotta have balance. If you look at those dudes that treat other people like shit on the way up, they usually have really high peaks and then fucked up falls.
Exactly.
So they don't sustain it. What I'm talking about is the people that die old as fuck. Like, if you look at Warren Buffett, right?
Mm-hmm.
Old as fuck. You don't hear a lot about like really fucked up shit that he's done.
Nope.
Jay-Z, like, not a lot of really fucked up stories about him, but he rich as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That shows that he's moved with a certain amount of ethics in the way he's moved with other people, and other people respect him enough to treat him well as well, and he's able to facilitate a very good value for other people. So because of that, he's able to keep his money all the way to the end of life. You feel me? when you look at that grandfather in your family that owned a store back in the day, that owned this, that was a fireman, that also did this thing right here, and to this day he's taking care of like 13 kids, and all them kids now have families, and that, like, you look at that dude, usually that dude treated other people right. Other people respected him and treated him very well and held him in value. And he had a really high value for the people around him. He was able to do a lot for other people. So people needed him. You feel me? And no, that's what I'm saying. It always go back to that for men. For women, women don't have to fulfill that. Women just got to, like, it's more based off emotion. It's like, how do they make the people around them feel?
Mm-hmm.
Why a lot of their emphasis is in like their social upbringing a lot of time is based around them posturing and understanding each other's emotions and understanding social cues and understanding what facial expressions mean and body language and understanding when what triggers this person and why. And you know what I'm saying, they're a little bit more advanced in that area because like their role is like the heartbeat of society. Like they give us the emotion, they allow us to feel, they kind of guide and make sure everything is nurtured and upheld from an emotional standpoint. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking.
You look the exact same way for like a good 15 minutes.
Yeah. But when you were saying that, I was just thinking about, all right, the boy that's living with the single mother that's not having the best choices in men. You know what I'm saying? And so because he sees his mom desire that or whatever, he might take that as maybe this is the way I need to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ever heard of like the stories where you have like you have a dude that's abusive, and when you look at his upbringing, the guy that was there was abusive. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not saying that's I'm not saying that's the way it is all the time for single mothers or whatever. I'm just using that as that's an example or whatever. But now if that's happening more often at a higher rate, yeah, that could change the course of how men are acting societally. I can't even say it. In society. I'll just say that.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I saw that shit too. I was trying not to laugh in between me saying stuff. That's probably why I said society and societal wrong.
At least I can see, goddammit.
Hey. As long as you're there, we good.
That nigga got two faces.
He do. Emotionally, face got two faces.
You got two faces, but not two faced, I promise y'all.
It's like, that shit funny, or what's that stupid shit you talking about?
Right. But yeah, man, like, Face, did you want to chime in on this? I feel like you were frozen for a minute there, so you
Oh really... no, I heard the whole conversation. I mean, me as being raised by a single mother, I mean, I have a unique perspective because I don't believe, like, me personally, shit, I feel like I've hit all three boxes and was raised by a single mother, but my mother wasn't no regular mother, so
yeah.
I mean, my mother was a hustler as I grew up. Shit. My mother was with her father. They ran numbers, so my mother wasn't a regular mother. So, some shit my mother had to do as a man. Just on her own. So, when it came to having to raise a boy, I guess some shit just came natural because she was with her father when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, we was with my grandmother, so. But a lot of shit that I know of being a man, I learned my own. So,
I think those three things, we need to start promoting that a lot more than what is promoted. What's promoted is you got to have a fancy car and you know what I'm saying? You just you
and like the yeah, but that's the thing. The
rapper
hold it with the fancy car, Pat. Yeah,
the rapper pack. If you look like the best new rapper or whatever, that's what it is to be man or some shit. Okay. You know what
I'm saying? But that would be even dumber because of the true instinct. Like, that just, like, woohoo, I got the big car. Till that bitch break the fuck down. Mm-hmm. Then you got to go, then you got to run to a man to fix your car.
Exactly. Not wrong with a car. I'm just saying. These dudes be forgetting that the real men work hard so that they can afford to maintain that car once they get it. So it's not like they got it this year and then 2 years later they don't have it no more. That's what the young boys forget. They go for the quick, easy routes, forgetting that you can't skip the hard work of like treating people right on the way up, making sure that people actually have time to respect you, making sure you actually can facilitate a role in other people's life. Like, if people don't need you, that shit don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, if people don't need you after 2 years, that Rolls Royce you had, now you can't afford either the payments or you can't afford the maintenance, so you're going to have to sell that bitch to live. You did? So, that's how I look at it. Like, yeah. People, like, you can't skip them three areas as a man, because every man that I've seen that has, like, sustained success where they get it and 10 years later they still got it and 20 years later they still got it. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And when I say success, I mean where they are at a good place. And not like, okay, how you living, Queen? Not when I say success, I don't, like, you might have the dude that's been a plumber for 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he might live a very average life. Normal house, normal car, right, drive a Nissan, but he happy as fuck because he got everything he need and he's had everything he need for all these years and he's been able to give everything that his children and his family need for them years. So that's success. Or the nigga that did hit a million and does have every big car he want, but is able to keep all them big cars for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years because he was able to make smart investments with it and he was able to fulfill those other three things, so because of that he was able to continuously have value and continually make money. Like, you ever seen somebody that, like, no matter what, they always just seem to keep falling on their feet? That ain't because of no bullshit. That's because they fulfilling them three things. They treat people right, other people respect them enough to treat them right, and they're able to serve a role in somebody else's life so that they're not just hanging around. Like, I'm not only gonna just be here, I'm gonna facilitate something for you.
Uh-huh.
A lot of stars with, like, these entourages, and people be wondering why you got this nigga around. He don't seem to do nothing, but you'll realize that nigga listen to all the bullshit that this other nigga be talking about that don't nobody else want to listen to. He get this nigga great advice that to help this nigga stay sane and make it through a whole bunch of bullshit since he was young. He make this nigga laugh, or he. Goddamn, he the clean nigga. So he actually keep this nigga house clean. Otherwise, this nigga house would be in ruins. Like, you never know. But everybody facilitates something. You know what I'm saying? Especially in a man role. Like, men gotta have a job. They gotta serve a purpose. That's why the worst thing you could do to a man is to put him in a position where he has no purpose and he can't find one. Yeah. You don't give him the option to have a purpose.
I remember Kendrick was saying, Dr. Dre said one time to him, it's easy to get a billion, it's hard to sustain it. Or he either said that, or it's easy to get a house, it's hard to maintain it. I either heard somebody say that last phrase and then just combine it to that. But even if you're not even talking about a million, it still applies. It's easy to get things, it's hard to keep them maintained.
Hell yeah.
Or whatever. And
you got a house, you still gotta goddamn keep that bitch up for the next 30, 40 years.
And being able to maintain is definitely what it's not only a survival tactic, but that's, like you said, it's one of the main things that builds a man to be who he is today and going forward. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pretty much. I try to do everything. It's crazy you said that, because I naturally try to do those three things or whatever, but I never took it as an aspect of that's what a man should be. I only thought of that's what a good person should be. And I think that's exactly why we should start promoting that more. You know what I'm saying? But man, you saw it when I was walking around, when I was trying to maintain it, everything in the club, I was walking around trying to make sure a security straight, a bartender straight, you know what I'm saying? Whoever working there is straight or whatever. The DJ straight, even though that motherfucker was disappearing in 5 fucking seconds or whatever. You know, it is now, you know, this, you saying that just made me reaffirm myself by my importance in that whole establishment. So I appreciate that. But yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's just in general though, bro. Like, if you look at every relationship in your life, you can guarantee that the reason that it's successful, if it's been long lasting, it's because you have those three aspects fulfilled for that other person. You're treating them right. They have a high enough respect for you to treat you right. And you have some purpose that you give to you add some role in their life that they need to fulfill, whether it be monetary, emotional, whatever, physical. You might be the bodyguard of the crew, like whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's always something that you are doing to fulfill them three roles. Otherwise, that shit don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Any situation as a man, when you find yourself being unsuccessful, it's because you're not doing something in one of those areas. You're either being a dick to people, or people see you as a person that's not worthy of respect, and so they're not giving you any attention, despite your resources. Because sometimes you might be the nigga that's the plug, but niggas don't fuck with you because you a dick.
Exactly.
And now, because of that, they don't respect you. So now your resource has no value anymore. So now you're not a commodity. Now you're a liability, and you get booted out for another motherfucker that can actually fulfill the same role without those other two pieces being missing. You feel me? So like, it gotta be the balance of that trifecta. It's like a perfectly balanced triangle. You gotta have that equal bits of each. Like, and you look at everybody that's successful, it works like that. Like, even when you look at like a Jeff Bezos and an Elon Musk, right? People say what they want to say about them, but them motherfuckers seen. You haven't heard a lot of people saying that these niggas are just straight dicks to them, or at least not publicly. Now, I don't know what they're like behind the scene, how they be moving, but they're smart enough to at least keep it where it look like they treat people decently. Other people respect them enough to treat them decently, and they serve a huge purpose for the people around, and they facilitate a huge role. They make sure they keep a purpose to these other people. You know what I'm saying? And that's anything, yo. And that's the thing. A lot of the independent, like, all right. So when you look at the breakdown of the household, right, and you get men that never learn those lessons, right, then they're out here not facilitating those three roles for relationships. Watch how I bring this shit all the way to fuck. All
right. And I got something after you.
My name. All right. So because of that, they're out here in relationships and they're not facilitating these three roles for women, right? So then you lead to a generation of women who are not having these three roles met. So then the women stop meeting their role, which is to actually support and be there for the emotional stability of society, right? So now you have women that stop looking at things from an emotional standpoint. They start looking at things from a bag. They almost become men.
Yeah.
In their outlook. So now you have men and men in relationship.
And that's where we have
they're both trying to fulfill these three roles, but those three roles are not meant for the woman. So now you have both people trying to fulfill a role and it don't fit. So then you have the independent woman syndrome kicking everything out. But it starts from that first place of men not being in the household. So now you got men that never learn how to be men, and then they create women that don't know how to be women no more, because now women are trying to fulfill this role of men, but they can't because they're not men. That's not how they're genetically shaped up to be. Just like we can't be women. You're never going to get a man that can teach a woman how to be a woman. You have to have a woman to fulfill that role at some point, whether it be as an adult, as a mentorship, as a child from the mother. Like, it got to come from somewhere, but these things don't mix because You have to have both. You feel me? And that's the piece that's missing. A lot of times we don't have, but we keep having these imbalanced ass situations. So, yeah.
The value I was thinking a lot of times now, I was also thinking we always have those factors or whatever, those outside factors outside the Black community that affect us or whatever. But by the time we've come to a point where we can consciously understand the world around us as a child growing up, we are taught that. We are taught that the world is built against us, basically, right? So it gets to a point where it's like, all right, I already know that the world is built against us. Let's not stop crying about it. Let's just build myself. Because I can't fight against it until I build myself. You know what I'm saying? I think we need to have that more of a... what'd you say?
No. You asked me, do I get what you're saying? No.
No. All right, let me explain further. Okay. I want to get around to it. This is my problem. I was listening to you, and I had a point. And then when you were talking, all right, I was like, "Oh shit!" Now it's my go because he finished. I thought you were going forward. All right, so
my bad.
So I was saying like this. All right, you know how you know we have our Black people. Sometimes it's like it's the man. It's always the man. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. It's gotten to the point that, yeah, all right, we know it's the man, but what are we going to do about it, right?
Uh-huh.
So now it's gotten to the point that we got to just build ourselves individually, like you said. And that's just the main thing about this conversation in the first place, or whatever. Like, we can't even worry about, like, I mean, at least have the knowledge that it's around, but we can't even worry about the system that's against us.
Right.
We just got to focus on ourselves or whatever until we build ourselves up to a point where we can worry about the system and how we can change it.
Because it ain't back to the original conversation, right? And I remember
that's what I was trying to do.
And what Face was saying, like, why does it always have to be like us going at us, right? But it's like, that's the thing. It has to be us going at us. Because nobody else is going to understand us to actually be able to do something about it. Everybody else going to be coming from a fucked up position. We actually get it. Like, it's just like, say me, you, and Pat have an argument as a podcast, right?
Uh-huh.
It would be hard for us to get somebody else to mediate that conversation because them other people ain't been here for the past 2 years and some change to actually understand what was put into it. Mm-hmm. The conversations offline and on record. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a lot that each person has done. Like, it would take somebody that's been there from that point to even get into that. So, like, mm-hmm. About the conversation of like us being better. Mm. The reason I say like it gotta be us coming at us about single parent. It gotta be us coming at us about fucked up families. It gotta be us coming at us about gang violence. It gotta be us coming at us about drugs. It gotta be us coming at us about anything that affects us. It gotta be us coming at us because other people ain't gonna do it right. We've given this power to do it, and they done fucked us over years, so why would we keep doing that? Like, no, we have to police ourselves, because the more control we take of ourselves, the less control we give to other people to have over us, which makes us more powerful and makes us a lot more together. Like, if you think about it, it goes back to like when you was growing up as kids. The reason as kids a lot of times them bonds be so strong with kids is because they willing to have a fight and be cool with each other on Tuesday when they fought on Monday. Mm-hmm. But they willing to go ahead and let that shit out because it's necessary for them to actually grow to the next step of resolution where they actually understand each other better and are better. Communities that are the strongest are willing to have those inner pulls and pushes to get to a place where they are collectively able to then go out and face society as a whole, as a collective block, as a this race or this community or this whatever. You feel me? Like, the problem with Black people is all the time when we go out there and we try to present any platform, we've shut down on the conversation, so we never get to resolution. So we're not together. So you got three going here, two people going here, five people going there.
And Jason Whitlock going on Tucker Carlson.
Indeed.
Fucking up the conversation before they had the conversation. That's what I, when I saw that clip, that's what, when you said, when we, if us three had a fight, we can't have no other mediator.
Right.
That the mediator in that, in that situation was Tucker Carlson.
Right. But and, say this, right? Say this, right? Say us three had a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
But say we back at ODU. And Pat, you was to go to Lloyd about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lloyd ain't got shit to do with it, but that don't mean that the issue that you bring up through him ain't valid and that we still don't need to get back to having that conversation.
Yeah.
The platform may have been fucked up that you aired it on, but that still lets me and Face know, oh, this nigga got a problem with us. We need to still deal with that. We don't need that alone just because you said it over there and be like, oh, that's bullshit. No, come on over here and let's have this conversation so we can get whatever that you just aired out over there right. You feel me? Like, this shit all comes from somewhere. But that's the problem. Like, we be so worried about, you said it over there, so fuck what you said. No, you said it. Is what it valid? Can we learn from it? Can we grow from it? Is there something that we can pick from it that can actually make us better? Let's take that shit. You feel me?
What I hope is that the actual effect of him saying that is Black people proving him wrong. And in a sense, actually correcting the problem that he actually spoke of. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen.
They won't. Oh, gosh.
But, and... like I said,
they won't.
Now, when I brought that up again or whatever, I wasn't trying to go against what you're saying. I was just trying to bring in, all right, this is the perspective of like what we're seeing.
Nigga, you know, I don't care if you go against what I say, man. Like, make the point.
No, I'm just saying that just to explain.
All valid and relevant if it tie in. Like, that's my thing. Like, that's the thing. Like, the conversation got to be had. Like, we can't be worried about going against what somebody else said. If the shit makes sense, make your point, because that may be a point that needs to be added to the pot.
Yeah, I'm just trying to explain my style.
Like, that even feeds into that narrative of like why we be always separated. Like, it's all right to just say that shit, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, if that's genuinely what you feel and you got the logic to back it up, say that shit. Because it may be the piece that's missing from the conversation that we might need to be thinking about that as that last element to, oh, yeah, well, all right, well, so this is how we figure this shit out, dude. Taking the nigga route. Right. We can't always be doing that. But that's the thing, though. But even in that, can't hire, right? Glad you said that, Queen. Like, even in that, sometimes we need to hear the message instead of, like, we be so stuck on everything that go around the message. Did you get the message? Give me coffee in a beautiful cup on a golden platter with amazing sugar cubes with gold flakes in them. Or give me coffee that's black in a cup. I just need the coffee. Don't care. We be so stuck on the aesthetics of things and how did it sound. That's why people used to fuck around and miss what Kevin Sam used to talk about, because they were so worried about how he said. He sounded aggressive. He sounded so mean. Why he say it like that? What did he say, though? Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I say stuff, I just want to say it because in my mindset, I feel like, just like you said, when I can talk junk about my brother. You can't talk right. junk about my brother. You know what I'm saying? Like right. it with black people, I feel like it needs to be more like that. And
we need to pull that nigga into our community instead of shunning them. But that's the thing though. Like that's mm-hmm. the thing. If you out here fucking up, Pat, I don't leave you out there fucking up. I yank your ass by your motherfucking neck, yank your ass back into the car. Hey, nigga, get your ass in here. Let's talk. You maybe see me out on the corner hanging with the goddamn enemy, acting a hot ass mess. You don't leave me there. You pull your ass up in your Nissan or whatever car you driving that year, and you yank. Tiz, get your ass in here. What the fuck are you doing?
I will. You feel me?
That's the thing. We be so worried about the wrong shit. The shit ain't all of the shit around the message. That nigga brought up a good point. Let's yank his ass off of Tucker Carlson. Fuck Tucker Carlson. Hey, Jason, get your ass over here to these black platforms. Let's have a conversation about what you said, and let's actually get to the bottom of what you said. Because, yeah, you said it in a fucked up situation. In a conversation that had shit to do with it. But you said some shit that had a point to it. Let's discuss that shit, nigga. Get over here back with us. Let's talk. Mm. Not push you further over there. So more yeah. of our shit get aired out over there with some motherfuckers that don't give a fuck about us. No, come on over here. Get here. Get here. Come here.
You got it.
Come here,
gotta,
get over gotta, here.
You got a point, because we be waiting and suffering forever right for the right Messiah to come out and say the right sweet things.
Right.
When we should just go ahead and do it.
Bruh, man, you know I'm on one. All right. Here we go. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. God is talking. God is moving. God is moving. The people. All right. Y'all know I'm the only third of the partners that actually fuck with the Umar sect and everything. But I'm going to say this to the sector. Hear this. Hear this. Hear this. Stop being worried about where the message comes from. Did you get the message, my people? Sometimes we need to hear constructive criticism, my people. It is how we grow, my people. If you go through life always thinking that your shit smells good, you never actually understand that people are being passed out behind you in a wake of ass juice because you just shit it all behind you and they don't care. But when somebody stops you and taps you on the shoulder and say, hey, motherfucker, that shit stinks. Get yourself together.
That was colorful.
Now you got it. Now people are not dying around you. People are able to grow and prosper around you.
That was real colorful.
Now, but what I'm saying is, like, people need to hear that shit sometimes. Like, we got to understand, like, we are fucked up out here because we don't want to hear the fucked up shit about us. Like, the best shit, the best conversations that I've had have been somebody telling me about myself. Because even if I don't agree, there's something into why that person felt that way that I still need to feel and understand and hear and change. You understand me?
Yeah.
It's something there. It's a reason that person feel that way, even if I don't agree that they should. Well, why do they, though? Because the reason that they feel that way is something that I need to work on. Let me figure that shit out. Let me find it. Let me find it. Amen. Amen. He's moving. He's moving. I feel him moving. Amen. Amen. Heard this evening from your book of tears. Hallelujah. What I do you. Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, man. Some just put that on my spirit to say that shit. Sorry, my sons are men now. I keep forgetting. Yeah, they men now, right? But I can guarantee you they made it to being men. And if they're thriving right now, they had another man at some point that allowed. That like that stepped in to supplement. You feel me? We never negate single mothers because I come from a proud single mother that kicked ass.
I too.
You did. We all three of us do. So, but I also say that like there had to be another strong somebody man that we had to learn these pieces from along the way, whether it be through media, whether it be through osmosis, whether it be through hanging with folk, meeting folk, the nigga that we smoke with, the homeboy at the corner store, the old man, street, the nigga that, you know, I mean, whatever, like the plug, you know what I'm saying? Like you learn some, you learn these pieces from other men. They ain't get it from them. They don't, they're, it's not there for them to get.
And if they have one of those pieces, and let's say that that piece is not up to par as far as others, or and they're like a fucked up individual, if not, if that child is not supervised properly, he'll look for his male role model in other people that he probably shouldn't. And that's where you get those traits from. Because
okay, I got what you're saying. So you're saying he'll pick the wrong men to actually follow, or men that are not actually men in the first place to follow.
Yeah, you don't have that guidance to what is a good man, or a man that's trying to be a good person in general, or whatever. You're going to just go to whatever looks flashy and appealing. And that's where you get gang culture. You know what I'm saying? You notice that a lot of gang culture, the people in gang culture, they might not have a father figure, or their father figure might have been locked up, for example, and things like that. Or he might have died. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have good examples around you, you tend to go to where you can get that feeling of another man respecting you. Like, it don't matter who you are as a male human being growing up, it's in you to want to do something or be something in which another male respects you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that go back to tribal hierarchy. You know what I'm saying? That go back to you want to be looked at as a member of the upper echelon of males in society. Mm-hmm. Every male is looking for their footing, which is why you have competition, whether it be in the academic sector, the tech sector, the medical sector. Like, all men, when they get a job, ain't no man just sitting around. Like, usually men end up trying to compete. Let me try to get this manager job. Let me try to outwork this nigga beside me. Let me show y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, real men usually have that natural urge to try to jockey for position. So that makes sense. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about the path and
which baby Hunter, ain't that Marlo from The Wire?
Marlo from The
Wire. Yeah, Marlo. My name is my name, nigga. Goddamn right. That nigga hard, yo.
What was that? My name is my name. That, you know, I like my simple phrases say a lot.
How you had them sayings that just say it all. Like, that's one of them ones right there. As a man, like, my name is my name. Like, don't fuck with my name. Well, hell yeah, that is Marlo. I knew that shit. Hell yeah, that my nigga.
Fucking yo, right. It was a phrase I heard the other day on one of them episodes of Joe Budden. He said, what was the phrase? When it's all said and done, more said than done.
That's the problem.
That shit rang. I don't know what it was, but that shit rang in my ear, yo, so hard.
That's like, the problem.
I'm gonna strive to be the opposite. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it's like, all said and done, it's done and nothing said.
Right. Like, this is how I look at it, right? Without faith, you won't get to action, right? But without action, faith is dead, right? And I look at men and women in that partnership. Women are the faith that leads to the man's action, right? So you can't have that out of balance.
Yeah.
But a man can't learn what actions are proper to take when a woman puts faith in him if they don't learn from another good man. Otherwise, they are fumbling around, fucking up the bag. You feel me? So, like, I think the reason that a good man can always fumble and get right back up is because he's learned that he can keep going. You feel me? Oh, yeah, we going deep tonight, my guy. Pause. My apologies for that egregious choice of words, my guy. But, yeah, I'm telling you, man, I can pull a life lesson out of anything, bro. I'm sharp with my shit, man. I'm telling you. I'm a motherfucking podcaster, my guy.
I try to bring in visuals and perspectives.
But yeah, like what that nigga said, never rub another man's rhubarb. Yeah, that too. That too, though, but that goes back to like when a man is raised wrong and is insecure in himself and doesn't know how to be a proper man, he oversteps the boundaries of a man. Like proper men know not to dig in another man's garden. You feel me? If you got something going on over there, I don't need to dip my hands in that unless you invite me in as an investor or something. That's you. You do you. You do me. And, you know, more power to you. Maybe we can collaborate in the future, but it ain't no let me dip my hands in that. Let me be nosy. Like, that's not even a man trait. A man should be, or like the mission at hand. And if you're a real man, you always have a mission at hand. There's always something that you focus on, whether it be professionally, whether it be family wise, whether it be in your relationships, whether it be just on your own self edification and, you know, your own self growth path. You know what I'm saying? Like you always got something that you need to be focused on. So you ain't got time to focus on no other nigga shit.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I try to be.
That's that like it all goes back to your value, though. Like, if you got time to focus on another nigga shit, how are you treating other people? There's no way in the world you're treating other people right, or you're adding value to other people's lives if you worry about other people's business, because you're not focused on your own shit to be able to build up your worth to do that.
Yeah, like, how are you focused on your shit if you focus on other people's shit?
My nigga, like, when I look at my eyes, so like, I look at every job I've ever been to, right? Even when I go all the way back to when I was 8 years old and I started the little show snuffling, grass cutting business with my friends, right? The reason I was able to always thrive and prosper at any job I've ever been at is because I've been able to add value. It's something I do that other people ain't gonna be able to do as good as me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always lived on my own terms. I've always been there on my own terms. I've always gotten blessings and jobs that are probably above my actual skill level just because of the fact that I've been able to show that, like, I'm going to be able to add value to that position. You feel me? So, like, it goes down to the value of the man. But if I'm focused on what you're doing, right, where do I got time to actually grow my skill set to be worth anything to people? I ain't got time to do it, because now I worry about your shit. That's taking up my time. And you see that a lot. Like, it's a lot of bitch made niggas. I don't mean to say it in no other way, but like, yeah, I've been working all my life, bro. Since I was 8 years old, I've always had some type of a gig going.
All my life, I had to fight.
Because it's healthy, man. Like at an early age. So the first 8 years of my life, I was taught by my great grandfather, my Papa Simi. He was a married man for all of his adult life. He always had a job. And even as an older man, he would go to his farm every summer and work his farm. He would go out in the back into the country and go shoot and hunt. He would always have something that he was working. He would be fixing something around the house. He'd be, you know what I'm saying? He always had something he was doing. So from an early age, I always saw, like, all right, as a man, you need to have some type of something going on. You can't, like, I remember another one of the best life lessons I got from my homeboy, rest in peace, Kenny Riddle, man. Went to Hampton, man. One of the greatest dudes I ever known. Nigga said, always be moving with a book bag or a briefcase. Because you're going to fool yourself and others into thinking you got something going on. And if you keep on moving around enough with a book bag or a briefcase, you're going to end up filling that bitch up with something.
I fill them on that. I always got my book bag.
Right, but like, these are like just little life lessons that all, what's your value? If your value is only financial, your finances can go. Like, inflation can take that shit. A bad life emergency can take their finances. But your ability to continue to grow them finances again after you hit rock bottom and keep getting it back. Your ability to sustain it once you got it. Your ability to make the connections and even have people wanting to put you in position to regain that wealth. It all comes from them three buckets, man. Your value as a man, my guy.
That's what happened to Usain Bolt. Is that how you say his name? You know what Usain? Happened with Usain? Is it Usain? I know his last name, Bolt. You heard what happened to his bank account, right?
No, I did not.
One day, he looked at his bank account, and them millions was gone.
Oh, he's no.
Still fighting to get those millions back.
Oh, my God. Nigga, that just made my ass cheek clench, Paul. Like that, oh, God.
It was nigga, a bank account, man.
Why all of them gone? What the fuck? Kind of problem with that? They fuck up.
Bank of America. Hold
up. So you go to sleep and you got like millions, and you wake up and you just see like a nigga, no, my heart.
So like that's what I'd be wondering, like how
you talking about the track dude from Jamaica? Huh? Talking about the track dude from Jamaica?
Yeah, the fastest human on earth, basically.
Oh God, Jesus. Oh, that nigga money went fast, didn't he? God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That hurt my heart, my guy. That's fucked up.
It had 1,750,181.74 on October the 31st, 2022. Balance now $12,047.65.
And now he finds out what his value as a man is, because he's put all his energy. Ain't it okay, Hyde? You feel me? You feel me? Oh my God. She said, boy.
You goddamn right. That's my worst nightmare.
Woo. Boy, that shit all my heart. You feel me? You feel me, Chief? That shit hurt. But yeah, I look at it. That's when you find your value as a man, though, because you don't put all your energy into this resource, right, which is running. Is that something that is universally acceptable? When I'm talking about putting your energy into resources, it's shit like, look, do people like being around you? Do you know how many jobs people get off of people just enjoying their company? When you look at Fortune 500 companies, a lot of those higher up positions are often coming from the people in position, the CEO of those companies, enjoying the company of those other people and saying, you know what, I'd like to have a beer with him. Let me put him in this position so I can have him closer to me. People want to fuck with who they like. So how are your social skills? Are you able to have a conversation with people? Are you able to discuss multiple topics without alienating others? Are you able to go into multiple different types of topics and still be comfortable? Or are you one track? You feel me? Like, when I say putting value, like adding value and being a resource to others, are you able to do practical things better than the average person, right? Are you able to fix things better? Are you able to give better advice and be a better consultant? Do you know the sport that you're even participating in better than others? That separates the niggas that leave their sport because they get an injury or they lose all their money and then they end up coaching somewhere and make just as much money back. Or they end up being a commentator. Or you get them niggas that just end up on one of them documentaries on Netflix all of a sudden or ESPN 30 for 30. What's your value as a man? You feel me? So when Ocho Cinco says, like, I got to the point where my name is more valuable than anything I can purchase, anything I can buy. That's where you want to be, where when people hear your name, they respect you enough to the other things that money can buy are intangible. Like, you don't need the car because you're going to have a ride anyway. Somebody going to get you a driver. You don't need money because people going to comp your meal and your drink. They're going to comp your entry to this place. They're going to give you free tickets. They gonna invite you to the press, the skybox. You dig? Like that's the thing that you want to have. That you want to have that value in your name, where you don't like. That's why the richest people stay rich. Their value is in their name, in such high level. They don't have to spend their money on shit. People give them clothes. People give them shoes. People pay them to come to their events. People give them comp tickets to come to their shit. Like, you feel me? Like, they want them there because they got that value. They treat people right. Other people treat them right. You feel them three buckets, man. You got value as a man. And that's all I have to say about that. Uh-huh. Don't burn the place down. I don't know why you're burning the place down. You okay? Don't burn the place down. That's arson. That's illegal. But yeah, that's all I wanted to talk about this week, fellas. If y'all have anything, we can jump into it. If not, then yeah, that might be where we leave it, my guy.
Yeah.
What, my guy?
I don't know. Dog out.
I have nothing else. So, nothing. When we've said all that needs to be said, then we said it, and then we roll out. So, I'm going to go ahead and just shout out, you know, shout out to Glow Glow. Peace to Gloria for coming through. Peace to beautiful Bernice. Peace to the Rodney. Peace to Mass Carl. Peace to, who else did I see in here? It was a couple other people, I think. I might be missing somebody. I don't know. Shit was moving kind of fast on my pause. Peace K High. And anybody that was in the cloud, anybody that I missed, you know what I'm saying? Love, 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 respect. Peace to all the kings and queens that made it through. Peace to the replay gang. Peace to LeBron James. I'm not sure who that is, but salute to you. And peace to everybody in the replay gang, man. Thank y'all for joining us. It's been a live episode of the podcast. It's been one of the weird shit. No, this ain't one of them last call. We didn't bring no videos, honestly. If you got some funny shit that you want us to go through real quick, though, I can, you know, I'm always down for the fuckery. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, this was actually the podcast, episode 115. 114 is actually coming out very soon, like in the next day. This is one of them weird ones. This is the first time an episode is coming out before its predecessor. Since the very first episode of we ever released. So, like a nice little homage to our beginnings. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But, y'all know what it is, man. As always, I've been one third of the partners, your boy Tiz. And I've been along with
other third of the partners. I'm sleepy, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. And I've been along with
the panel. His face, damn it.
Why I feel like he still had the same face saying that.
I don't know, but we got this motherfucker. Peace, motherfuckers. Have a great week, everybody. Love y'all. Thank y'all for joining us, man. Keep fucking with us. Hit that like, hit that share, hit that subscribe, hit the little bell so that y'all get the notifications and shit. And we about this thing, man.
Little bell.
Peace.
This is the credits, y'all. This is the end of the show. Y'all come back now, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, peace.